Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Hello and a very warm welcome to Main Menu, ACB Radio Mainstream's regular look at technology from a blindness perspective. Main Menu is made available to radio reading information services around the world, but is first heard on ACB Radio Mainstream on Wednesdays at 1 Universal, that's Tuesday evenings in the United States, and during the US summer, that's 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. For listeners tuning in expecting part two of our Winamp 5 series, we will be rejoining that series next week. However, on today's programme, Marlena Lieberg speaks to Larry Lewis of Optelec, the distributors of Mobile Speaks, one of the more recent offerings in the mobile phone screen reading arena.
Hello, this is Marlena Lieberg for Main Menu, and this week I have with me Larry Lewis, who is the Vice President of Optelec's Blindness Division. Welcome to Main Menu, Larry.
Thank you, Marlena.
After all the time we've worked together, it's kind of fun to be interviewing you in ACB Radio.
Well, it's a definite first. We have spent a lot of time together on the road at conferences, all different types of places, and I think this is a definite first.
And you've got some very exciting news to share about not only one particular product, but something that is actually the first step in a continuum of products. And I'd like to just let you kind of talk about that, and then we'll move into a little demonstration of the big surprise.
Okay, I'll just very quickly summarize what I have been up to the last 8 months. And how that relates to what we're going to talk about today. Earlier this year, I was given the opportunity to transition into a position with a company out in Chelmsford, Massachusetts. The company's name is Optelec, and for those of you who have been in the industry for a while, whether you're low vision or blind, the word Optelec, when you hear the name Optelec, it automatically conjures up images of CCTVs and low-vision devices and magnifiers and things like that. At the end of 2003, Optelec, along with its parent company, which is a Dutch-based corporation, Tiemann, and we'll talk about them in just a moment, decided that they wanted to expand their business model from simply being a provider of low-vision solutions, screen magnifying solutions and so forth, to actually getting into the braille and speech-oriented technologies. Tiemann has had a 30-year history of manufacturing of cells for refreshable braille displays, and they're actually one of three suppliers around the world that manufacture these types of devices and supply to different companies and so forth, and have had some moderate success in Europe as it relates to distributing their own braille displays and their own products and so forth, wanted to expand into the U.S. and to redouble their efforts worldwide to come out with a product line that was different than any that is really out at this time. We have a number of great products that are out right now, and we as blind consumers are just in a phenomenal time where we can access all these different great types of technologies, all of which have different product philosophies that undergird them. And Tiemann wanted to get in on this, and using Optelec's infrastructure within the U.S., wanted to expand into this arena. What that entails was setting up a actual division that would specialize in servicing, supporting, marketing, and selling these types of products. So really, the mantra for the blindness division and Optelec are the three P's, as I like to call them, personnel, product, and passion. Need the proper personnel to sell and market these types of products. Need the proper product line or an exciting enough product line to compete with all the different great products that are out right now. And need the passion to really undergird those selling, support, and marketing efforts. And need people that really believe in the direction that Tiemann and Optelec are wanting to go with these innovations and so forth. It involves collaborating with different partners around the world to bring out the right products, to distribute the right products. It also involves a serious commitment from our development, as will be evident in the next few months as we roll out some additional flagship portable technologies. And the underlying theme behind the three Ps is that we want to provide state-of-the-art access to persons who are blind on a number of different fronts, the portable front, the desktop PC front, while at the same time recognizing that a great deal of thought needs to be put into designing an appropriate interface, not to necessarily allow people to do things in a compatible type fashion with persons who are sighted, but to allow direct access through speech and braille media with an appropriate user interface. So it's a little bit of a different approach than is out there now. You have lots of devices that allow you to do various tasks through different means. We want to provide access to the exact same applications, to the exact same methodologies and so forth that our sighted peers would use. And the primary reason for that is that you see technology changing at an alarming rate. I just received a laptop, a very good laptop, but still a very good laptop, 7 months ago, and it's already obsolete. And, see these changes with cell phones, with PDAs, with laptops, with software developments on the application front. And, the detriment that I see as a blind consumer and somebody who's worked in this industry is that you spend all this time working so hard to come out with something that, in some respects, can be dated when it's released, when you're trying to play catch-up with the mainstream. So we would rather ride the mainstream wave rather than always playing catch up with the wave. And that's the underlying thought process behind where we're going.
And so how are you doing that?
We're doing that through a couple of different strategies. As I said, the first strategy would be to partner with some excellent partners around the world to establish a product portfolio in the interim before we roll out some additional products that we're manufacturing in-house. And we're wanting to do this for a couple of reasons. Firstly, without getting into too much detail, the approach that we are taking is one of a very open access, where we view speech and braille as the common denominator between what all people who are blind or visually impaired use to access technology. And if you keep speech and braille at the focus of the center of that technology, then it's great if you have a situation where you have things so open that you have devices that can access multiple things at one time. And what that does is that gives you multiple uses for a specific device, and it also keeps more money in your pocket at the end of the day because you're able to use that common denominator and that common access to do many different things that oftentimes it would take several devices to have you use. So in surveying the landscape of mainstream technology and also of adaptive technology, there's so many parallels between what sighted people need and what people who are visually impaired need. One of the most ironic things that it's been kicked around for the past couple of years, but I think you're finally starting to see a great deal of interest in, is the access of a mobile phone.
Oh, yes, indeed.
And what's so ironic about this, me working in this regard, is that this has been in the make for a few months, and initially I was thinking, well, this is a great thing that we're going to work on, and we're going to be working with a really great partner, really great software, and it'll lay the groundwork for some of the things that we're going to be doing on the refreshable braille front. But then when I actually started to use the technology myself, I'm thinking, not only is this a great business decision for Optilec and Siemens, but wow, this makes so much of a difference in my life as somebody who is quite mobile, travels quite a bit, realize, can't believe what we used to do before cell phones. It seems like so long ago. I guess it really isn't in the scheme of things. But it's like, wow, it's so great to be able to access so much more of the phone than I ever knew I could, just besides making a phone call, maybe going through the clunky steps of memorizing keystrokes to check my voicemail and so forth. Actually having a screen reader that can sit on my mobile phone and not create specific ways or specific closed methodologies for me to do things, but to actually access my phone in the same manner that my wife or my sighted friends would access their phone.
Now, of course, we've had people using Talks for a while,
right.
And that's been a solution, but this is different.
It's a bit different. Talks, I think, a couple of years ago really created a sense of awareness that, hey, this is a need that needs to be met with any type of technology. I think it's fair to say, be it a Braille display, be it a scanning program, an OCR program, a screen reader, and now a mobile phone screen reader competition is good. And we have partnered with a company based in Spain called Code Factory, who is the manufacturer of MobileSpeak, which is the screen reader that that Optilec and all of the team and offices are the master distributor for in countries where we have subsidiaries or companies.
Well, can we have a demonstration?
Yeah. What I have rigged up here for the audience is my mobile phone, a set of speakers, and thanks to Marlena, and I will plug her electronic prowess here, helping me with this rig up. we have a set of just ordinary computer speakers and just a mini jack converter plugged into my phone. It's a pretty good situation here, and I think you'll be able to experience what I have going on here. Just wake up my phone.
And what kind of phone are you using?
I'm using a Nokia 6600, and it's a Symbian-based phone. We support all of the Nokia, most of the Nokia Series 60 phones, predominantly the 6600, 6620, 7610. There are some other phones out there on which the software will run, the 3650, but we're really gunning for the phones that have the expanded memory capability and so forth, and would really steer folks towards the Series 60 phones. It's running off of a Symbian operating system, and you could liken Symbian to just another operating system. You have Windows and Linux, and then on the Windows front, you have Windows CE and Pocket PC and so forth. Symbian is just simply a pocket operating system on which mobile phone applications are often built for the GSM network. And I'm drawing a blank on exactly what GSM stands for, but it's a very global, globalized network that is gaining acceptance and popularity in North America. Of course, the Europeans and other folks around the world have been using it for a couple of years, and so we're starting to see a greater acceptance and a greater unification on the GSM front. And so what you need is the appropriate phone, which would be the appropriate Nokia phone, and you would also need a carrier that works with these this GSM network. And mostly in the U.S., you're looking at AT&T/Cingular. You're also looking at T-Mobile as your primary carriers. And because of the applications developed for this operating system and for this global network, and because we needed a common denominator on which to build the applications and work with Code Factory to give them feedback on what we were looking for, really needed to focus on the GSM as an initial step. It's not to say that down the road there won't be some expansion into some of the other smartphone technologies and so forth, but we're going to starting with this, and it's quite a phenomenal product, actually. When your phone gets turned on, you're going to hear the prompt T-Mobile, and I have my verbosity set fairly low, actually. The nice thing, you have varying levels of verbosity. You can customize, much like if you were using JAWS or Dolphin or what have you, you're able to customize what is actually spoken on the screen. If the verbosity is high, you would get your date, you would get the fact that you have the option to select your camera. and you would get a whole bunch of different things. I simply want to know that my phone is on and that I'm ready to go.
Right.
I've also turned my punctuation down quite a bit and so forth, because the type of user that I am, I just want very quick access. Don't need to know if there's a hyphen between T and mobile, and if there's a slash between my dates and all that. So the verbosity is quite great. There's lots of different keyboard shortcuts that you can use to actually toggle things like your verbosity and your punctuation. So if I hit my my edit key on my phone and the number 6,
verbosity, normal, button 1, camera.
And you can hear it say that there's a camera button on my screen. That would be normal. I could go high.
Verbosity, high. Battery level is 3 bars. Signal level is 7 bars. Button 1, camera.
And so you're getting more information. And then if I want to go down to where I like it.
Volume 5. Battery level is 3 bars. Signal level is 7 bars. Button 1, options. Verbosity, low.
So I would go to my low verbosity. And that would just basically say T-Mobile. Now, I can get all that information through keyboard shortcuts. If I wanted to check out my battery status like you heard and my signal status, I could hit my edit key with my 1 on the phone pad.
Battery level is 3 bars. Signal level is 6 bars.
And so it gives me my battery level and my signal all by a keystroke. I can change my volume. I can change my pitch. I can change my punctuation. And I can do that all by hitting shortcut keys or going through menus. And so it's a very quick and easy way. I will say that, if you're male and have sizable hands, it does take some getting used to hitting key combinations, especially when you've got a phone on your shoulder and you're balancing cords.
Yeah.
So.
and I also want to make sure that folks understand that the popping you're hearing is actually just the interaction with the speaker. That's not really your phone popping, right?
No, it's not the phone popping. It's we're dealing with a high degree of volume. And actually, I noticed when I'm going to take you into some places in just a moment, if I go into my menus and so forth, this is all with just my phone, able to make a phone call and so forth and just do all these shortcuts right from my phone right here. If I wanted to, and for those of you who aren't familiar with these types of Nokia phones, what you have basically is you have a number pad, and above your number pad you have something that looks just like a joystick. It can move up, down, left, and right. And then you have two soft buttons. You have a left soft button to the left of the joystick. You have a right soft button to the right of the joystick. Those could best be summarized as when you hit your left button, you would be in more of an options type menu, or it can simulate an OK button sometimes, and your right would be more of a cancel or an escape. So it's pretty much a joystick, those two buttons, and then there's a couple of other superfluous buttons that are on there as well. Where I'm going to take you into next, just to demonstrate some of the things that we can do, is if I hit my menu button on my phone, what will happen is we will go into the actual menus of the phone functionality that we'll be able to take a look at.
Menu, contacts.
And so we have our different menus here.
Messaging.
We'll start on, now this, I must say, is very phone specific. So if I didn't have any type of a service, this is the type of software that's built into our phone. And what MobileSpeak is doing is simply just reading to us the contents of what's on the phone. Again, just like Dolphin or JAWS or a program like that would allow us to do. We have a messaging option, and what's nice about this is when I've gotten a missed call or I have voicemail waiting, I don't have to go through all the steps of dialing into my voicemail box and typing my password and all of that jazz. I can simply click to have my messages shown, my text messages shown, to identify if something's a voicemail. I can listen to it right from here. If I go into messaging just by clicking my joystick.
Messaging. New message.
And so we have all these different options I can move down through.
Inbox. My folders. Mailbox. Drafts. Outbox.
And so you have email capability through here. You can create new messages tied into your contacts and so forth. I will say that one of the drawbacks of this technology in the past is that you've had to really use the phone to do all this. Now, there was a product that I don't think is really being sold anymore, the Nokia Communicator. It had a very small typing QWERTY keyboard built into it. But if you didn't have that phone, you pretty much were constrained to using your phone buttons to do all of your text messaging, your email generation, and all of that stuff. We actually are in the throes of rolling out a series of wireless Bluetooth keyboards that allows us to do things such as text message and actually all of our email management and so forth off of the phone itself. And what's also notable, and I know for the sake of time, and also booting up my PC, it might not be a real realistic thing to show right now, but this is very syncable with Outlook. You can sync your calendar, you can sync your contacts, and I believe there's a way to share your messages and so forth.
So presumably what we would have is some sort of a folding Bluetooth keyboard that would communicate with this phone, and then we would be able to come back to our home base and Bluetooth or infrared?
Bluetooth, infrared, or your PC data cable would be your three options for sharing data. Bluetooth would probably be the most palatable way to go if your PC is set up for that. And if you have a phone, the 60 series phones are primarily designed for, you know, for Bluetooth and so forth. So what it does, Marlena, is it begins, you will see as I move through some of this that many of the PDA or note-taking functions that one has had to spend $2,000, $2,500 for this straight speech access is now getting bundled into devices and software that cost, you know, just a few hundred dollars. And I would like to get into the pricing at the end, but I'll just continue with the demo unless there are any other questions.
No, keep on going. This is intriguing.
Okay. So what I've done is I've hit my right soft button. I'm escaping out of this.
Messaging.
And I'm back to messaging, so that just backed me out like an escape. If I right arrow with my joystick over.
Contacts.
And what's nice about contacts is if I were to go into my contacts here, I have all of my Outlook, just hundreds.
Contacts. Abbott George.
And my friend George Abbott from Hadley School for the Blind is number one in my contact book. I have all my Outlook contacts synced here, and another frustration that I've always experienced with proprietary type of technologies is not having one single source of contact information that can be kept up to date. I would often have things on my note taker that weren't quite syncable with things on my PC, and keeping that information current was a very arduous, tedious task. And as you know, Marlena, with lots of contacts and lots of, you know, dates and appointments and things like that, it's really important to have a single contact source that you can share with multiple devices. And you're able to achieve that very easily with this software accessing a mainstream mobile phone and your PC. Things that I can do with this contact, if I hit my left soft button for options.
Abbott George.
I could open that contact.
Call.
I could call, which I'll show you in just a minute.
Create message.
I could create a message to him, a text message, or an email.
New contact.
I could make a new contact on my phone if I wanted.
Edit.
I could edit the current contact.
Delete.
Delete, which I would never do.
Duplicate.
I could duplicate it.
Mark, unmark.
I could mark or unmark it.
Copy to SIM direct.
I could copy, and I believe that's to send to your SIM directory.
Send.
I could send, and I think there's some options there. I haven't played much with that.
Contacts info.
And contacts info?
SIM directory. Settings. Help.
There's help for every area, so in respect, it has context-sensitive help. It would just give me, you know, help about how to use the contacts application.
Exit.
And exit. So
settings.
Probably
settings.
The most...
Contacts info.
The thing that I do the most with this...
Send. Copy to SIM direct. Mark on mark. Duplicate. Delete.
Go back up here.
Edit. New contact. Create message. Call.
I would call, and I would hit my left soft button to call. Actually, I would just click my joystick to call.
Call back with George. Tell. Home 47-491-1774.
And I'll skip past that.
Home 47-491.
I'll down arrow.
Tell. Work 47 784.
And I have my home, my work, and my cell phone numbers all listed here.
Mobile 08300-835.
And I'm trying not to broadcast all of his numbers, but I could click on any of these any of these numbers, and I could call him without having to know anything but his name. I could email him without knowing anything but his name.
And, of course, that's the kind of phone access sighted people have had for forever.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the alternative would be to carry your note taker or your PC, look it up, you know, use two different devices to achieve what the sighted person would achieve with just the movement of a few joysticks.
Sure.
So that's really great. And as we begin to roll out not just a collapsible keyboard, we're going to throw something to the market here, and I don't want to get into too much detail, but we're also going to be looking at some wireless Braille input options. The only difficulty with that, and I'm not sure what the market will say, we'll leave it up to them, is that with the Symbian operating system, we do not have a grade 2 translator built. We have Duxbury and some other products on the Windows front. What will be interesting is if the market determines that for a quick text message or a quick to-do, grade 1 is acceptable or not. If it's not, we won't package the wireless Braille keyboard with it. But want to make it an option. I'll reserve judgment. I think there, if people understand the quick, easy access of grade 1 Braille, if it is easy, or they might just stick with QWERTY. The idea is we want to provide options so that we can seek direction from the market. So there will also be a wireless Braille option coming.
That's fabulous.
So I'll back out of this, and we'll keep going. I'll just escape.
Mobile 08300-835, Abbott, George.
Get one more level out.
Menu, contact.
We go to contact.
Calendar.
And calendar, if we were to go into here.
Opening. Friday, September 10th, 2004.
So we would be able to look at our dates. We could have our view set by week, by day, whatever we prefer. And we could simply go in by hitting our left soft button again for options.
Open.
We can open.
New entry. Week view.
Week view, if you wanted to view by week.
Delete entry. Go to date. Settings. Help.
And again, you have help.
Exit.
And we have exit. So again, it's all the consistency of what a sighted person would use. And for the average, you know, average is a relative term, but for the average user, understanding that new entry is new entry, be it a contact, be it an appointment, and doing things in the same manner that your sighted peers do things, and understanding that and having access to that is just really a great thing.
Calendar.
Now, and that calendar
Gallery.
Will also sync up to our Outlook.
It will sync up with Outlook. With the PC, you get a Nokia suite of software, which would be comparable to like ActiveSync as far as sending files and that
I presume is accessible.
It's fairly accessible, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a little nasty Outlook dialog that pops up that tells you that something's trying to access something.
Yes.
If you want to let it, and that's just the thing we can't get around.
Yeah, that pops up no matter what you do.
It pops up no matter what you do. So as long as you know that that's happening, I find it pretty easy to sync up things and do different things. We have some other interesting things.
Camera.
We have a camera, and oddly enough, that is actually accessible. If I wanted to go into my camera,
open.
If I wanted to open that,
list view. Move the folder.
If I wanted to save pictures here,
new folder. App downloads.
I could download pictures here, but what's funny is if I move up to open,
list view, open,
and I click on that, anywhere I point my camera and I click the joystick, I can take a picture. And I just took a beautiful image of the blinds in my office, the dusty blinds in my office. So, well, I better not get myself in trouble about dusting. So.
Well, you know, actually, there are some of us crazy blind guys who take digital pictures. I take a lot of them.
I've actually, we had an exhibit. I live in Cleveland, Ohio, a few years ago called The Art of the Eye, which was, part of it was somebody with, a camera. I just went around and took snapshots and stuff. And it was pretty, abstract, to say the least. And
sure.
A lot of people dug it, thought it was really great art, and it was a big hit here. So for those aspiring blind artists, here you go. So you can do a lot of things with this by hitting your left soft button. Create a new image.
Delete.
We can obviously delete my dusty blinds, which we're going to do. We can send my dusty blinds to somebody else with this type of a phone.
Rename image.
We can rename it.
Go to gallery.
And we can store this and do some other fun things. The point is something that is off the shelf, again, an off the shelf app like a camera.
Rename
and again, and it has little to do who will use it and who won't. The fact is that it's there. It's
right.
What's important.
Right.
And so we'll delete.
Delete image.
And I'll hit my, this is where your left soft is okay, and your right soft would be more of a cancel.
Standard.
And so I just deleted that. And obviously, with your verbosity turned up, it would tell you which buttons to hit.
Sure.
I just, drives me crazy, but it's a good thing for starters.
Camera.
So we've got some other things here.
Video rig.
I haven't played much with the video recorder on my phone, but there's supposedly a way to do video clips.
Reload. Services.
There's some services that we can take a look at. And there's a browser that I don't have active, so I'm going to get out of that. It's there's a browser through T-Mobile that's not really active. We are going to be coming out with Code Factory with an accessible Symbian browser.
That was my next question. If I wanted to use the browser, is there an accessible browser?
It's something that we're working on and hope to have out by the end of the year.
Great.
Manager.
We have a manager which basically allows you to remove and install components on your phone. If you're going to be adding additional components to mobile speak, it's good to be able to see them. If I were to go in here just by clicking on my joystick.
Mobile speak 478 KB.
There's my mobile speak application. There's my Eloquence text-to-speech engine, and I could simply remove those if I wanted to do a clean install of something new or whatever. So it's more of a program manager.
Are there other speech choices other than Eloquence?
Yes, the Acapella speech, which used to be the Babel speech before they were bought out. We have access to any language imaginable. I think even Russian's coming. So the acapella speech, as it relates to other European, Eastern and Western European speech options, is quite good. For the English ear, the British English, the UK English, the US English, we've incorporated Eloquence into this. And I, outside of some of the pops to the speakers, I think it's quite acceptable sounding. It's kind of like having a Eloquence-based screen reader on your PC, really.
Is it possible to have a bilingual phone?
Yes, I believe so. You can add voices. I'm not sure of the exact cost, depending on how many you add. So there are ways to do it, and there are ways to have multiple voices, such as the acapella speech and the Eloquence speech running, and you would be able to switch between those respective speech text-to-speech engines.
Manager.
So
profiles.
These are just other my primary things on the phone. There are a whole lot of things here that I like to use is to be able to enable my connectivity to my contacts, my calendar. There's some to-do things which I'll show you. I haven't gotten into every single aspect of my phone.
Go to.
There's a go to. And so I'll go into the
go to. T-Zones.
And again, this is something that I don't use very much, so I kind of focus on the things that my phone allows me to use that are important to me. I don't know every aspect
tones.
Of this. We can change our ring.
T-zones, tones.
I have no idea.
T-zones, tones.
I have no idea what T-zones and
T-zones.
Tones are.
T-zones.
Probably a T-Mobile thing.
Go to. Themes.
We have themes, and this is basically for your screen. There's a T-Mobile theme, and then there's a no data if you want it less clutter on your phone.
To-do.
There's a to-do list. We can go to our to-do.
To-do list. No data.
And what we can do here is we can create things. We can do a new to-do note.
Help. Exit.
So basically, it's just if you wanted to do a quick to-do note, go into here and it'd be really great once the keyboards are rolling out for doing that type of a task.
No data.
Back out one.
Menu. Menu. Help.
Here's help for the entire phone. It's not so much context sensitive.
Connect.
And here's our connectivity menu. We can go into this.
Connectivity. Bluetooth.
And Bluetooth is our first option. And the tricky thing about Bluetooth is just getting it set up initially with your PC and pairing the devices so that your PC accepts the phone and your phone accepts the PC and you don't have other people walking by your PC with your phone, and it's just a security issue. It's much better than infrared, but infrared is still an option on phones that have infrared capability. The tricky part with infrared, A, it's slower than Bluetooth, but B, the whole line of sight issue, getting that lined up with the infrared.
Yeah.
And it's definitely usable. I mean, I use my infrared port on the phone, but a little bit slower, and, you know, it just requires lining it up so that you're within a certain, you know, just a certain range so that it can connect and stay connected. So it's quite handy. Those are the most popular ways of transferring and communicating with your phone with other devices. You can also often get PC data cables, which basically will allow you USB access as well. The serial data cable is virtually dead. There may be a few kicking around, but as you know, they're very hard to find.
Extras.
We have some extras in here.
Extras. Notes.
We have a note. This is kind of a notepad feature.
Calculator.
We have a calculator, which I'm still getting my head around. It's somewhat usable.
Converter. Reporter.
We have a recorder, a sound recorder.
Clock.
Clock.
Memory.
Memory.
Wallet.
And we have a wallet app. And these are just apps that come on the phone that you're able to access more times than not. They really don't have anything to do specifically with your service provider. They come with your type of phone that you buy. And in this case, it's a software that was loaded on my phone before I received it. Again, Mobile Speak is the access tool. Mobile Speak does not have all these applications necessarily. It's the access tool to whatever phone, Symbian-based phone that you're trying to use.
So are those applications or some of them accessible through Mobile
Speak? I haven't
Speak?
Played with all of them, but things like your notes and so forth are very accessible. I haven't played around much with the wallet, which I'm actually wanting to get into and to see what all is involved with that. Mobile Speak does a great job of reading the screen. I don't know if Mobile Speak has keyboard shortcuts for each and everything, but there are ways to navigate around and there are ways for data entry. And what we're hopeful for is when we work out all of the nuances with the keyboard interaction, that there'll even be some additional accessibility built in, just having more keys to work with and so forth.
Tools.
There's a tools menu here.
Tools. Settings. FileM NGR.
There's a file manager.
FileM NGR.
Basically, there's just a file manager and settings for your phone. Again, it's not something I play around
tools.
With much.
Games.
There's games, and I don't think my phone has any games loaded on it. We are looking at rolling out some additional games. Now, there's no real games that are loaded on here, I don't think.
And these would be games that would be accessible
Right. Mobile Speak actually has a game, which I haven't really played with much. I guess in some respects, I'm a pretty simple user as far as this contact management, phone calling,
mm-hmm.
notes, and calendar are my primary functions
sure.
on the phone.
Sure.
We do have, Mobile Speak does have a game, and I just haven't played with it that much, actually.
Log.
There's a log where you can check out all of your missed calls if you haven't cleared them, and it just logs the calls that you've received and so forth.
Recent calls.
And so we can look at our recent calls.
Call timers. GPRS counter.
And they have a GPRS counter.
GPRS counter.
So we can look at our recent calls.
Recent calls. Recent calls. Missed calls.
And then we can look at our missed calls.
Received calls.
Received calls.
Dialed numbers.
And dialed numbers. I can look at all my numbers that I've dialed lately. And I find this kind of handy if you've missed a lot of calls. Now, you will get messages that you've missed calls when you've turned your phone on and so forth, but if you wanted to go back.
Missed calls. Private number 932004429 PM. Private number 932004429 PM. Retrieving date.
So I look at my received calls. I've looked at my, it tells me if it's a private number. If it's not a private number, it tells me the number of the person who called me last, the received calls, the calls that I've made, and it's quite handy.
Now, what about as you're receiving a call? Will it tell you the
number? If you're receiving a call, if I hit my edit and my right, or if I'm sorry, if I hit my right soft button while the phone is ringing, mm-hmm. there's caller ID built in on the phone. And Mobile Speak does a great job of just reading that number as it flashes up on the screen.
I see. So it will speak the number. But
oh, yeah, it will speak the number.
Not
that's actually a feature I should have mentioned when we were just in the actual screen before the menus. That's
sure.
depending on who you want to and don't want to talk to, that's a really great feature.
one of the criticisms of some of the other phones that speak the number is there's a couple that I've heard. The first is that you can't say hello until the number stops speaking. And I'm wondering how this one actually functions.
I've never really thought about that because I just listen to the number and decide if I want to take it or not. I guess I should try taking it partway through. But I typically, it's quite responsive. You hit that button and it rattles off the number and I decide if I want to take it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So it
mm-hmm.
takes up a fraction of a ring, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I never really thought of that. So
yeah.
I think next time I get a call, maybe I'll try that, because I haven't really thought in that regard.
Well, not being someone who has an accessible cell phone yet, I cannot comment, but I have heard that. The other thing that I have heard is on some of the phones that actually try to say the name, they'll spell like M-A-R-L, and that's a problem as well.
On this, it just shoots up the number. Now, I don't know if that's specific to my cell phone service and Mobile Speak just reading what's happening, and if I had a different service, if it would try to, if a name would pop up on the screen. I basically get a number. I don't get a name with the number.
Okay.
I just get a number.
Okay.
So it just rattles off the number. It doesn't tell me the name. If it's a private number, it's a private number, and it doesn't show. If it's a phone number, it shows it. So I guess that might depend on your – again, it gets confusing because you've got the cell phone, you've got the cell phone provider, and then you've got Mobile Speak, which provides access to both.
Sure.
So it's a lot to keep together as to what actually does what. And I would think that Mobile Speak would probably do the same thing if that's what flashed on the screen.
Missed calls.
I'll just back out of this.
Log. Recent calls. Menu. Log. Stop Mobile Speak.
And if you wanted to reinstall a speech engine or something like that, you would need to actually stop Mobile Speak so that you wouldn't have certain files locked and so forth like that when you were trying to copy files. So there's a stop Mobile Speak. There's a configure Mobile Speak option, which pretty much allows you to do a lot, such as register your Mobile Speak software. We'll talk about that in just a minute. You can also do some things with your speech, your keyboard echo, your volume, and do some things that you can do with your shortcut keys as well. It's more or less a configuration window for Mobile Speak.
Start Mobile Speak.
And then you can start Mobile Speak as well as stop it. And that would walk you through the menus that are on my phone. I could simply back out of it and be back at my T-Mobile screen.
Very interesting. So it gives you access to your caller ID, your calendar, your address book, your missed calls, your contacts, your email.
Your received calls, text messaging. Ultimately browsing. There are some additional applications, and keep in mind, this is all a very new, there's so much to absorb that even for me as a user, there's a lot of new stuff that I haven't played around with that much. We also, with the Mobile Speak software, we do have, and again, it's just it's so not important to me, maybe to some people it will be, there is an MP3 player that you can install on your phone for MP3 files. Mm-hmm. To me, that starts to drain the battery of your phone and things like that. And to me,
sure.
I want my phone to be a phone.
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, there are some little things like that. There is a more accessible calculator you can download. And there's some other little goodies that come with it. My specific thrust behind this software, both as a user and somebody who is charged with selling the software in North America, is, hey, anything that you want, there are going to be people who don't care about their contacts. Maybe they just want caller ID. Maybe they just want the text message and stuff like that. There are going to be people who don't want to use the calendar. There are going to be people who want to use the camera. There are going to be all different sorts. And what the role of mobile speak is to give you access to whatever it is you want to do with your phone. I can tell you, before I get into the logistics of how this all works and pricing and so forth, when I started using this, it was kind of like not really knowing what you're missing until you started using it. I was just always a person who made phone calls, you know, typed in a code, got my voicemail, and that was all I did. Maybe I might connect my phone to a PC or a note taker to send emails through the serial cable at the time. That was about all I used the cell phone for. And to actually be given more information, to be able to do some things very portably that up until this type of technology, people would have to spend thousands of dollars to do.
Yeah.
Speech is, in a sense, it's very sad that it's taken our industry this long to get it, that the more cost-effective you make something, the more consumers can access something, and the more that this type of technology can get into the hands of people who are blind or low vision. Braille is at the center of what I believe in and what I do. I'm a Braille person. There is ultimately going to be direct, refreshable Braille access for this, and this is simply, while it's incredibly usable for me now, if I had my way, and I will, Braille with no speech and clicking on contacts, looking at missed calls, doing those types of things is still very important, but I recognize that there is a vast number of people out there where maybe refreshable Braille isn't in their budget, maybe refreshable Braille isn't in their plan, maybe they use enough Braille to where they label their groceries, but they don't really need all this information coming up at them in Braille, and speech will suffice. If that's the case, from my perspective, spending $2,000, $2,500 to do things in a manner that nobody else who is sighted gets, and jumping through extra hoops that nobody else cares about, when you can achieve the thing for a fourth the price and with very little effort. I mean, you can understand that a new contact is a new appointment, is a new entry, is a new note.
Sure.
Is edit, is close. If you understand the basic, you know, two-syllable words of the English language, you're going to get this, and you're
sure.
going to be able to navigate and be just as effective and just as productive as your sighted individuals and at the same time as them. When new things come out, when different things come out, being able to ride that wave instead of catching up with that wave.
You've whetted our appetite. How do we get it?
Well, depending on where you are listening or where you're from, the Tiemann Group, which consists of Tiemann Netherlands, Tiemann UK, Tiemann Germany, Tiemann Belgium, Optolite USA, Optolite Canada, and also doing some things in Australia and New Zealand, you would get them through your local Tiemann distributor, your Tiemann office. For the number of listeners in the U.S., Optolec is your place to call, 978-856-2500. You may also call or email me if you have some specific questions about the application. My direct number is 216-381-8107, 216-381-8107. You may also email me at Larryl, L-A-R-R-Y-L, at Optolec.com. Let me tell you a little bit about how to actually get it. We're offering two options here. We're offering the first option for actually getting the software and us installing it for you, because there are a few hoops you have to jump through, either through Bluetooth, infrared, or a data cable to get the actual software on your phone. We're charging $395 for that, and we will overnight your phone back to you once you've sent your phone in. So it's a very quick turnaround time. It is the option that I would push for a number of people who don't want the headaches associated with all of the hoops of just getting something installed off of your PC onto the phone. If you do, and there are a number of people who do want those headaches and can do it themselves, the software is $295. And what it would entail is downloading the software from the MobileSpeak website and then contacting Optilec. What will happen is you're able to run the software for 10 minutes in demo mode, and you would contact Optilec, and we would give you a code that you would enter, that we would generate, that you would enter into your registration field. You would give us a serial number, and we would then give you a code back that you would need to key in on your phone and press your left soft button for OK, and it's much like an authorization scheme. You would just have that phone would then be enabled so that every 10 minutes you wouldn't have to restart your phone. I guess if you really wanted to, you could have a demo on there and just keep turning your phone on and off for 10 minutes. I would not advise it.
Does not sound
like really
the best
to
way to go.
If you're system, you could do it. So a couple of options. There is the premium option where we just take care of it for you. Is the less painless way. Need to account for our service staff and all the invoicing, shipping it back, and all that stuff. So that's $100 more. I think for the headaches that it alleviates, it's definitely worth it. If you want to go through installing it, which there'll be a number of technical people where it's not that big of a deal, and it's really not that difficult for them to do. Want to present options here. Pricing on the Bluetooth keyboard options is coming. We're doing some final testing on a few fronts just to clean up the interface with the QWERTY keyboard and different things like that. And so I'm not prepared to get into that at this time. But you need to be responsible for getting the right phone, for getting your service activated and so forth. We're happy to set up the software on your phone. We have a number of dealers and, again, distributors who will be carrying the software, also like resellers. And for those of you in specific parts of the country where we have dealers for the software, again, contacting me for starters is probably the best way to go. And I would be also able to hook you up with somebody local who might be able to do some of that legwork for you as far as getting you set up and so forth, and give you that local handholding that we expect our dealers to provide if they're reselling our product.
Well, this is all very exciting, Larry, and you have left us with some interesting hints of things to come.
Well, there is the cell phone is one arena, the PDA front. There's lots of other devices out there where we want to mirror this sort of an effort. And if we keep in mind that Braille and speech are the common denominators that make things accessible for us, and we focus very heavily on accessing the incredible amounts of applications and devices that are at our disposal, and we focus very hard on keeping Braille and speech as our output and accessible user interface as our input, I really believe that Optilec and the team and group they're on the verge of redefining how we view access technology. We deserve, as persons who are blind, we deserve to ride the wave and not catch up, and not always be left in the dust, and not always be in this frantic mode where we're trying to keep current with something that's dated by the time we're current. So I'll get off my soapbox on that note, but it is something that, as a user of this technology, is something that I've seen lacking, and very happy to be part of the team and group and partnering with Code Factory, some of our other partners, and working very closely with some of our in-house development efforts to bring to you an approach that hasn't yet been really maximized like I think it can be.
I couldn't agree with you more in the philosophy of what you're saying. And what I'd like to do is one more time give your contact information.
Yeah. I'll give you Optelec's home number or home office.
And you know,
number.
Why don't you spell Optelec too?
O-P-T-E-L-E-C.
Okay.
And the best way to call is 978-856-2500. Or direct, chances are a lot of times things will get shuttled to me for specific detailed questions and some of our other staff that's on board as well. But I'll also give you my my contact details.
Okay.
My number is 216-381-8107. And my email is larryl@optelec.com.
Larry Lewis, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Marlena. It's been great having the first interview with you.
Yes.
I'm sure it won't be the last, hopefully.
I hope not. We are waiting to see what comes next.
All right, great.
For Main Menu, this is Marlena Lieberg.